Welcome to Canada's Podcast.
Hi, this is Celine Williams, hosting from Ontario for Canada's Podcast. My guest today is Craig Perlmutter, president of Arcadia Earth Toronto. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I'm excited to talk to you. I'm excited to learn more about Arcadia Earth, but before Arcadia Earth Toronto as well, obviously. But before we jump into that, I'd love to hear a little bit about your journey getting to be president of Arcadia Earth Toronto.
It was a wild and crazy journey.
Perfect. Those are my favorite kinds.
Yeah. I mean, for me, at least it was for sure. So it's funny, I'm in my home office right now and you can see there's a little bit, you can't see the hockey on this side, but you can definitely see it on this side. So my Arcadia Earth story starts with hockey. I'm a crazy hockey fan, coach, player, everything. I love hockey.
Okay. So
when friends of mine invited me to New York to see the Leafs play at Madison Square Garden in February of 2020, a guy like me wouldn't say no. So there I was going to New York for 24 hours to see my beloved Leafs. Love to hate them, hate to love them.
Yeah.
Of course, different conversation, different podcast. Mm-hmm. But there I was, and that afternoon, a friend of mine had a meeting at this place called Arcadia Earth. So that's where I went to meet him before we went out for dinner and go to the game. And I didn't know anything about anything. I knew an address. I don't even think he told me where I was meeting him. So there I was. I pulled up and Arcadia Earth and Broadway down near the NYU campus. Seems great. So I showed up and he handed me an iPad. I said, I got a meeting. You check this out. Here's an iPad. There's a really cool app you use. And I was like, okay, sounds fun. And there I was walking through Arcadia Earth. And it was more temporary pop-up version of it that had been open for about 4 or 5 months. And it caught my attention big time. From the really cool technologies that I hadn't seen very much to some really amazing large-scale art installations to these few aha moments about the environment sustainability that really, really caught my attention. One of the rooms that was in that New York exhibit at the time was, I think it was called the Rainbow Cave, and it was filled with recycled plastic bags. And it was a small, I don't know, maybe it was 500 or 600 square feet. So relatively small little square, but it was an art installation. It was filled with these little tiny recycled plastic bags and some really cool colors and some neat sounds. And there was a voice suddenly up in one of the corners that welcomed me to the plastic cave. It was a little voiceover. This room is made with 44,000 recycled plastic bags, the number of plastic bags used in the state of New York every minute. And so that caught me, hopefully everyone that walked through that room and heard that voiceover. And I was like, holy crap, really caught my attention. So, and that was, I believe it was kind of early in the, 8 or 9 or 10 or 11, whatever different rooms that I walked through that day in the exhibit. And I just my ears were perking a little bit more. And by the time I was finished, about an hour later, I was enthralled at, again, the technology, the art, but in particular that there's this information and inspiration that gave me the aha moment that I felt I could also provide other people. And literally from that afternoon, and this was February 2020, so it was a few minutes before so the conversation literally started. It's okay, what is going on here? What did I just walk through? How are you involved in it? And how are we bringing this to Canada? How are we bringing it to Toronto? World-class city, top 4 or 5 largest, most influential type cities in North America, and it's Canada, and it's the environment, and downtown Toronto could use another incredible attraction. Again, this was 4 years ago before some other incredible attractions came to Toronto. And the conversation started that day. it never really stopped, although it certainly slowed down starting on March 12th or whatever the date was, 2020, when we started to teach our kids in our dining room. And a few months later, the conversation picked up even more steam. And there I was building business plans and building models with the team in the US and learning about the business, starting to pitch some people here in Toronto a little bit and bend a few ears, and literally started hitting the pavement to look for space and spent a lot of time looking at different locations. And it really, to be honest, got super lucky to see a space at the Well and work with the team at RioCan. They knew almost from the get-go what they were getting. They were getting someone who just found the, you know, just had the story that I explained to you happen to them, and look, check this out. And they visited New York. They visited, there was also a temporary version of the exhibit in Las Vegas. We visited Vegas together with the RioCan team, and it just fit within the Well and this new incredible development that was being built. And they had showed us one space, wasn't as great as the other space. They showed us our current location, and it was literally off to the races from there. Huge high ceilings, which we really needed for the right type of exhibit. A big open wide space that we could put the walls wherever we wanted and the washrooms wherever we wanted. And it was it's been a wild and crazy ride from that one Leaf game. The Leafs got killed that night. But it's been a wild and crazy ride. And here we are, a few months into being open, and we opened on December 1st. And as you can imagine, it was a wild and crazy rush the last few weeks and few months, even the last few hours, before we could open. But we've had a great number of visitors. We've had really amazing feedback from people of all ages, all demographics, from Toronto, from outside Toronto, the suburbs of Toronto, around Ontario, and people finding us from the US. You know, digital marketing is another world from what I was doing before I found Arcadia Earth and decided to take the plunge into more entrepreneurship and do this. So it's really been a lot of hard work. It's been a lot of stress. It's been everything entrepreneurship is kind of supposed to be. But there's been some incredible moments, a lot of them, a lot of proud moments. But it was a trek to get from point A to point, I guess maybe we're at like point L or M, and there's a lot more to grow, I guess. I can't say we're at Z yet, but we're moving along, and some great things in the works for Earth Month, which is coming up, and great plans we're working on for a busy, crazy summer in downtown Toronto. So did I answer the question? That might've been a long answer.
You did. I'm going to ask.
Feel back a little bit, probably.
Well, I'm going to ask a clarifying question, then I'm going to go backwards a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
So you mentioned that the exhibit in New York and Vegas, they were temporary exhibits. Mm-hmm. The one in Toronto is permanent. Is that correct?
Yes. So the plan is that as a permanent exhibit, you know, we could with 10 rooms, we could only hit certain number of important topics. So there are other topics we haven't touched on yet. There are topics that may last a little bit longer, and maybe there's some topics in some rooms that won't last as long. So the plan is to change the rooms around, maybe some of them after a year, year and a half, maybe a couple of them after 2 years, but to continuously evolve the exhibit, include more artists. We did a great call out to Canadian artists for one of the rooms last year and ended up with one that just knocked it out of the ballpark for us in our e-waste generator. The artist Benjamin Von Wong, who's incredibly well known and certainly Canadian, submitted among 25 others a plan for that room. And it's an incredible room that people have reveled in and taken great pictures and videos in. And they've learned a lot about e-waste and the use of their electronics and how to recycle them, and beginning the discussion about the right to repair and how important that's going to be as that hopefully not slowly evolves. Anyway, that's where we are.
Stay ahead of the game with our expert tips and strategies that will help your business thrive in a digital era. CanadasPodcast.com. Subscribe now.
Amazing. Thank you. I wanted to make it because I was like, I wanted to just clarify that in case someone is listening or listens in the future and is like, wait, can I still do it? Then it is, yes, in fact, permanent, so they can come at any point in time. So I appreciate that. And now, absolutely, I do want to take a step back for a second, because I'm going to assume that 4 years ago, walking into Arcadia Earth in New York was not the start of your journey in the world of working in whatever way.
Yeah.
So noting that hockey was the catalyst or the, in, maybe not the cat, well, let's call it catalyst.
Kind of.
Or yeah. Arcadia Earth Toronto. What were you doing before then?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
And it could be, and obviously, I don't know, so it may be completely unrelated.
I could give you 500 guesses without looking at my LinkedIn. 500 guesses of what I was doing beforehand. You probably won't guess it. So I'll
great.
Just unless you want to start guessing, but I think a lot of time.
So, no, they'll let you tell me.
So I most recently before Arcadia Earth, my wife and I owned and operated an overnight children's summer camp of about 300 kids and 150 staff each summer. Nice. For almost 20 years. It was in Algonquin Park. And there are, you know, some people think that they're, how can you go from summer camp to a tourist attraction that some people call, which it is, but it's an exhibit, environmental exhibit, and filled with incredible art. But it's, you know, the inspirational side of it, the educational side of it, the environmental side, the hospitality side. I mean, it is like the perfect connection for me. And I felt that right from the beginning, once I saw it and once I started digging into how the business operates, and you need an incredible team working there that are really buying into the inspiration that we're trying to put out there and to activate people to make these simple, tangible lifestyle changes. You need the right team, you need the right build, you need creativity. Like there, and you know, we're doing events and we're doing school groups, and it all mixed and matched with what we were doing, what I was doing for all those years prior. And you know, just happened to be, you know, our camp lives had ended just before COVID, and which was like a gift from above in a lot of ways. And it was very difficult on the camping industry through COVID. And we're still super, super close with a lot of other camp owners and directors. But the, you know, I had looked at different businesses, you know, four or five different types of businesses to not necessarily start, but perpetuate, even bring to Toronto. But this just checks so many more boxes than the others. And working with the team in the US, Valentino Vittori, who was the founder of Arcadia Earth years ago, you know, about a year or two before I saw it, now years ago, you know, working with him and his creativity and his mind and his connections and the people that he knew and some of the content creators, it was a wild and crazy ride, like I said, but I've learned a lot. I don't consider myself suddenly this environmental activist that knows everything. I'm learning a ton, just like the people that are walking through our doors every day. I'm learning a lot along the way. I've learned a lot over the last few years, obviously, and I want to, you know, spread that information and that inspiration to as many visitors as possible, particularly the youngest kids coming through in our school groups, our school group programs. And we've made those tickets extremely low in price because that's such an important group of generation to get into our doors to inspire. But it's it's been again a super wild ride.
So I mean, you've said a little bit of this. I can definitely see some of the, I'm not, overlap is not the word I'm looking for, but the what you would have learned running a camp business, how it could apply to something like Arcadia or Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, you mentioned creativity. There's obviously an educational component running a camp, whether people like it or not. Camp is not just straight fun. There is, you're teaching a variety of skills to kids of different ages. there, sure. You know, there is the service component that comes with running Arcadia. Like, absolutely. I'm curious if there were things that you weren't expecting in running Arcadia or Toronto where you were like, I had no preparation for this piece of it.
Yes. Yes. There are a few of those. And that's what, you know, part of running camp wasn't that my wife and I knew everything and did everything. It was far from that. We had an incredible tight-knit team of what we called our head staff group, our kind of inner sanctum group of people that we would rely on them knowing what they needed to do and getting it done, whether it's off season or obviously during those summer months. So that part I brought to Arcadia Earth for sure, because I didn't know all the different aspects of it. Right. Like running our summer camp, we didn't have this monster marketing and PR budget that we needed to spend and know how to spend it. I needed like very smart people to help develop all of that, plan all of that, and then perpetuate it and keep it going. The whole, you know, social media influencer world was, I mean, I'm also not in my 20s and I'm not supposed to understand it all, but it's a monster world that I really did not know much about. And even when I learned a lot more about it and how to manage it, like, I'm still in shock over how some of that works and operates and how, you know, these incredible influencers are dying to come see us, and they create the most unbelievable, inspirational pictures and reels and videos and highlights and what all the different things that you probably know way better than I do of how they've helped us spread the word about Arcadia Earth and in turn, obviously spread the mission and they walk through and I meet some of them. I meet a lot of them and I want to meet them and I want to see what they're doing and how they love it. And I learn a lot from what they're taking out of it. And that'll be those are some things that obviously we'll put into future rooms and future topics. And so anyway, that's been very eye-opening. The digital marketing, overall marketing, PR side, you know, like I never had live TV spots and, you know, breakfast television and CP24 and eTalk has a special coming out this week. And like, there's all of that I would have never, ever guessed and never wasn't trained on, although my PR company has done a really amazing job helping me get to from, you know, having not been on live anything to doing a few of those spots. And they're super fun and exciting. And again, I just want to, you know, spread our mission as far and wide as possible and hopefully get people in our doors. And something I learned from the team in the U.S., you have to get people in the doors because it's fun and exciting and entertaining, and the art and the technology and the app they get to use and the visuals. And then once they're inside, that's when we can affect change and, you know, spread the information and hopefully inspire people to walk out the door and change their habits a little bit, whether it's simple habits of what they're purchasing or not purchasing, reading some of those labels, to a whole host of other things that we pick up on, that they'll pick up on in different rooms. And it all is come, you know, it's really come together in our last few weeks of planning for Earth Month, which is literally going live in the next day or two. So, and a big plan for Earth Month, which we're super excited about. Again, just activating people to do things a little bit differently and things that are very simple, tangible lifestyle changes that will make a difference. We can't just wait for the governments and corporations around the world to make change. They have to do their part. There's no doubt. We can't just do it ourselves individually, but there's a lot that we can do. And that's what inspired me in New York way, way back for a little over 4 years ago. And certainly it's going to keep us going for a long time.
Canada's podcast is your gateway to success in the world of entrepreneurship. Start listening today. CanadasPodcast.com. Subscribe now.
I mean, I agree 100% with that. And it's, as you said that, it's funny. I was thinking, it almost seems to me like the more people who experience something like Arcadia Earth Toronto, and they understand what they can do and where they can affect change, even if it's small change, right? Because it's, you know, let's, I, there's, I'm going to get the statistic wrong, but it's something like 70% of carbon footprint or carbon issues, something like that, are have been created by 100 specific companies. Like, it is massively
right.
not because of an individual's decision that we have some of the challenges that we have right now.
Right. And that's something that I really loved about New York also when I went through it, is it didn't have this doomsday approach. It was inspirational and positive, and look at nature and look at these species and look at how incredible things have been and can be. And again, similar also along the lines of our partnership with WWF Canada about Regenerate Canada, that we can make change, we can regenerate, and there are some issues and problems, and we can highlight those also. But the most important part is that let's get in this, do this together, and make some simple changes. And the doomsday part wasn't like, you know, if you use a single-use plastic, you're the devil. But instead of using one every day, a plastic bottle every day, you know, once in a while you might need to use it, and that's okay. You're not going to be banned from the planet because you used one. But you don't need to go to store XYZ and buy a big, you know, 24, 36 pack of plastic bottles of water that are going to sit in your fridge. Like, that's just silly.
Yeah.
We should all have clean water by now. Where there isn't clean water, then sure, it's going to be necessary. That's a different story. But, you know, again, I'm not naming names and naming companies, but there's so much more we can do, in particular in the single-use plastic world, but also, you know, so many other topics that we're trying to cover and spread the news about.
And that's, you know, that's where I was kind of heading, was like, the more people know about this, they also work in those companies. They can start to influence in other ways. So it's not only I can make an individual decision not to use single-use plastic on a daily basis, but I can influence and lead other people around me in my organization, in my day. And that's kind of where the impact can really build. And I love that is part and parcel of what you're doing at, you know, is as part of this permanent exhibit. Because there is so much doomsday information. If you want the doomsday information, you can
find it. It's there. You can find it. It's pretty easy. No, look, you took the words out of my mouth. Like, it's about any citizens coming in through our doors that we can inspire, that they're going to take it back. Even if it's the school kids that come with their teachers, they're going to take that information back to their homes. And if it's the young adults coming in because it looks cool and fun, they're going to take it back to their workplaces. They're going to take it back to their universities and their colleges, and they're going to be on different boards and committees and things, and they're going to want to make a difference, and they can. Yes. And they can. That's the key.
Yeah. So I'm going to ask a question that there may not be a quick answer to or an easy answer to, and you might not be able to answer this, and I know that.
Fair enough.
You mentioned that with Earth Month coming up, that you were prepping for it. Are there special things happening at Arcadia Earth Toronto for Earth Month that people might want to check out specifically in that month?
Yes. So within our four walls is one thing, but we know, look, we've had a great number of people come through our doors in almost 4 months. So with that and our social media outreach, our plan was to do something, make a big splash outside of our four walls. There'll be some things and activations within our four walls, but it's a great number of people that'll come through in April, but it's a smaller number than what we want to affect. And we in our initial brainstorm for this over a month ago was, okay, it's always Earth Month at Arcadia Earth, but it's going to be Earth Month. And people, they don't always know what to do for Earth Month. And maybe there's like an Earth Month party and an Earth Month this and an Earth Month story and an ad about Earth Month. And those are all nice and great. But what we wanted to do was create a month of challenges. And so we're challenging anyone to complete 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 of six challenges. And not just that they can do each challenge once, they can pick one challenge and do it every day. They can do them twice a day, some of them. But we're trying to change habits and change behavior. So if people start on the Echo Travel challenge, if they start walking more or taking their bike or taking public transit or doing pool in their car sharing type stuff, so then they're going to make a difference. And if they try that for the month and it's working and they feel good about it, they're going to continue on. So we didn't want it just to be the month. Here are things you can do this month, and then we'll talk to you in 12 more months and do something else. Like we're trying to change habits. And with our, that was our Eco Travel Challenge. I'm like spilling the beans. It's going public today or tomorrow. So I'll spill the beans.
That's okay. This will be out after that. So
good. Okay. That's fair enough. But from a park cleanup standpoint, there's a hiking challenge. There's an eating green, less meat type challenge. There's a challenge specific to a day, to 2 days to do the CN Tower climb. That's a little harder for everyone to do.
Yeah.
But it's on our list because, you know, we have a great partnership with WWF Canada and we believe in everything they're doing and we want to make that part of it. But again, you don't have to do all the challenges. You can do the ones that you can do. And there's a hiking challenge, and then there's a sustainable shopping challenge too. So we've reached out to a few partners to help us, mostly with just some great prizes. So people are going to be able to complete the challenges, post about what they're doing. They could literally post three times a day, three different hikes, three different times that they went for a vegetarian meal, and here's a recipe, and here's what I made, and they tag and post and all that stuff. And there's some great prizes. Partners that we talked to were very excited about. It was very limited, but we started the outreach and we wanted to get that off the ground, and we're super excited about it. We have another big announcement about Earth Day coming up that we haven't finished yet. Yeah. But there'll be an announcement about Earth Day. It's a Monday. We're typically closed, but we won't be. And there's going to be a really special day surrounding Earth Month. This past weekend was Earth Hour. And so we decided along the course of all our brainstorm to do something for Earth Hour. As limited, but it's something. And we decided that anyone who any tickets that were sold for that hour when people came, we decided to donate to two different organizations. One was Fashion Takes Action and the other was Nature Canada, in addition to the donation that WWF gets for every ticket that's purchased. They get $2 for every ticket. So also something we're super proud about.
That's incredible. They do amazing work. And I love that there's a giving back component involved in purchasing tickets. I think that's wonderful.
Yeah.
And I know for a lot of people that kind of social consciousness, social entrepreneurship is huge. So I appreciate you.
Yeah, super important. Super important for us. And we have an entire room focused on WWF Canada called Regenerate Canada that I mentioned. It's a really incredible projection mapping, interactive projection mapping. You're touching the walls, touching the floor, things interact and change right in front of your eyes. And yeah, it's, I love it.
That's incredible. Where can people go to learn more, not only about Arcadia Earth Toronto, but about some of these events that are covered, these challenges that are coming up for Earth Month? I said the wrong word, but hopefully you knew what I meant.
Yeah. I mean, look, ArcadiaEarth.ca has everything. Just ArcadiaEarth.ca, just as it's spelled. There's a link to the Planet Challenge that went live literally last night. So a few little edits left today, but it's ready to go. And obviously people can buy tickets through there. They can get information about groups and events, obviously, through there. And then the other thing that I'll mention is near the end of our experience, visitors have, there's a room where people can calculate their carbon footprint calculator on a big screen, but they can also explore all of our rooms and get way more information, fast facts, learn more, things that they can support, information about the artists, and things that they can change in their daily routine that are, you know, topical to those individual rooms. So it's actually just a website called YourActionsMatter.ca. So people can You don't have to come to Arcadia Earth to learn all about it, but we hope that you'll come and see and experience the rooms and then learn about it. But it's a public website. Everyone can look and see and dig into way more information about each room. And I know our school groups love digging into that website before and after they visit and hopefully go through lesson plan after lesson plan with all those kids when they get back to school, especially.
That's fantastic. We'll make sure that both of those are linked in the show notes.
And of course, all our social media handles, particularly Instagram, is full of amazing information and all those wild and crazy posts from all of our guests that love it. So
I love it. That's amazing. Yeah. I thank you so much for sharing your story and for telling us more about Arcadia Earth. I think it's super valuable for people. And especially people, whether they live here or they're coming to visit, to know that this is something that they can have an immersive experience in, because it's an experience. It's not just going to see something. You're actually being immersed, and we all love experiences. So thank you for sharing more about that and for taking the time to chat with me today.
Thank you. Thanks for your time.
Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
It's my pleasure. And thank you for listening to Candace Podcast. Like, comment, and subscribe to all our channels to get the latest podcasts from entrepreneurs across Canada.